In the name of the living God, creating, redeeming, and sustaining. Amen. Amen. A demoniac, set apart. Away from town, he's in caves that serve as tombs. And when they're fast enough to catch him, they shackle him, unclothed. But he always gets away. No one knows his history, let alone his name. Today's gospel is one of the ones assigned in seminary as among the toughest to preach. Perhaps because it's so bizarre and it seems so out of touch with our lives in the 21st century, with a horde of demons, portentous pigs, the melodramatic miracle of a man made well overnight. How in the world is this ancient exorcism story relevant to us, let alone good news for us today? Well, let's notice a couple of things about the text. The demoniac's the one who approaches Jesus, and it's not seemingly to ask for help. It seems more like he's bent on terrifying Jesus. And Jesus is unmoved, does what was probably far from everyone else's mind. These ones who are binding him and running away from him, but not Jesus. Jesus asks him his name. What's your name? Now, the response is very interesting because it's not the man who responds, but the demons. And the demons reply that their name is Legion. And Legion is sore afraid of what Jesus might do. Please don't send us to the abyss, they cry out. This past week, a heat wave gripped our nation. We learn every year in my household at this time, my husband and I, as we attempt to cool the third floor, just how much the circuit breakers can handle. As we read about rolling blackouts in certain areas, we're reminded not only electrical grids and breakers, but we can only handle so much. The demoniac is gripped by not one, but many demons that overload him. It is an apt metaphor for our time. We're only meant to handle so much before it trips our breakers, overloads us, and becomes legion. As I read the deluge of news that's available 24 hours a day, as I listen to people bring up such heavy concerns about their lives in conversation, as I scan social media, I do not think God built us to respond to everything that we can take in right now. So many tragedies, injustices, sorrows, natural disasters happening to every person, it seems, across the planet. This next paragraph, I had a hard time even writing. So, like, where do I even begin? I started with the horrors of war that are so readily available to us. We can just watch them on our phones in real time. Nobody's ever been able to do that in history. And then on Thursday night, I woke up at 3 in the morning for something unrelated and look on my darn phone. But I see that my colleagues are all posting about three people in an Episcopal church who were shot in a small group by someone who attended church with them every once in a while. And then I recently viewed this documentary, among so many other documentaries of its kind that I can stream any time of the day. And I read a review of it by Roger Ebert. And he wrote that it traffics so heavily in trauma from start to finish. And I realized I'd been taking that in for hours. Our hearts and our spirits were developed to be able to hold, to be able to respond, to be able to feel challenges, but maybe not this much. Perhaps all of this awful news is challenging the current of sacred life that pulses through us. Maybe it's threatening to trip our breakers. Maybe our breakers have already been tripped. I think the Gerasene demoniac had been operating with a tripped breaker for a long time, had just grown accustomed to operating under the demon's dark control. The demons are legion. Lutheran pastor Nadia Bolz-Weber reflected this week, quote, "When I check social media, it feels like there are voices saying, if you're not talking about, doing something about, performatively posting about, fill in the blank, then you are an irredeemably callous, privileged bigot who is part of the problem. And when I am someone who actually does care about human suffering and injustice, someone who feels every picture I see, every story I read, it leaves me feeling like absolute, you can fill in the blank." She says, "I know this is a complicated thing because there are injustices that have only been addressed because for the first time they have become widely known through social media. At the same time, I can't help but feel like the wiring in our brains and psyches and hearts and spirits wasn't meant to take in all of the information we consume each day." End quote. Now, may I be so bold as to posit that in this 21st century context, that when we become paralyzed by the sorrows of this world, we are acquiescing to them, and they become legion. We invite them in as demons. As Debbie Thomas elucidates, quote, "If we expand the definition of quote-unquote possession to include everything that conspires to keep us dead when God wants us alive, then the story of the Gerasene demoniac is not an ancient oddity. It is the air we breathe, the zeitgeist we inhabit. It is the pandemic of our time," end quote. Now, there is good news, even among the legion that grips us today. Jesus does this incredible, miraculous thing. He searches for the person beyond the demons and asks, "What is your name?" And that's what unlocks the door to healing and justice and life and hope. Debbie Thomas continues, quote, "Has there ever been a more loving, searching question? What would happen if you allowed Jesus to ask it of you? What would happen if you asked it of others? Who are you? Who are you really? Beneath the labels, the diagnoses, the pretense and the piety and the fear and the shame, who are you when no one in this world is looking? What name do you yearn to be called in the lonely stretches of the night? Who were you before you lost yourself? Before something vital in you died? Do you even remember?" End quote. When faced with the legion around us, within us, Jesus invites us to remember who we are. There's a teacher and a speaker, Susan Stable, and she says, when we're facing things like this, she doesn't call them demons, I do. She suggests answering three questions as we respond to Jesus and come back to who we are. The first question is, what's mine to do? And what's not mine to do? And the second, what's mine to say? and what's not mine to say. And the third one is pretty hard. What's mine to care about? And what's not mine to care about? I talked with my spiritual director about this one time, wanting to be able to respond to all of the cares of the world. And he reminded me that there are billions of people in this world, many scores of people in the church, and most people are of good faith. Let's just believe that. Choosing what is ours to care about, what is ours to respond to in our time, that's not an issue of values. That's an issue of math and of time. Not all of us can do everything, but we can do something, and so can everyone else. So the gospel story today began with a man who'd lost himself to the point of being overcome by a psychologically and physically overwhelming legion of demons. It continued with Jesus looking at the man beyond the demons and asking him his name. Jesus' focus on what's real, what's true, what's potentially life-giving is too much for the demons to bear. So much so that they beg to be sent somewhere else, anywhere else, than to the abyss. In the Greek, that's abusos, the place without a bottom. The demons revel in our declination, in finding ways to bring us to the bottom of ourselves. Jesus reveals that there is no depth where God is not present. And that terrifies the demons to the point of retreat. So here's how the story of this demoniac ends. When the demons leave the man, he is restored. And there he is, wearing normal clothes, miraculously sitting at the feet of Jesus and conversing with him. The gospel says they found the man clothed, who had been naked, and his right mind, who had been deranged. And then this man desperately wants to go with Jesus. But Jesus tells this man to go back and be the first missionary of Jesus' good news to the town where he's from. He doesn't tell him, oh, come away with me, or go start somewhere else in a new place where nobody knew about you, where no one would remember all that pain. It is delightful and stunning and terrifying all at once that the healed one goes to share the good news with the same townspeople who feared, shunned, trapped, and bound him. To share the good news that we are not just the challenges that cause others to distort and shame and bind us. Wow, that is confident, fearless love at work. And it starts with Jesus coming to us. Or maybe it's us coming to Jesus, huh? And Jesus looking beyond the legion that bombards us and asking, what is your name? What is your name? How might we respond? It's in that response that we shall be released. Amen. Amen.